Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, Attorney at Law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Hour number three of Radio Law Talk is now upon us. If you missed the first 2 hours, obviously there's no such thing as time travel. But you can catch those first 2 hours as they drop on our podcast. It's found on all podcasting services. Go to RadioLawTalk.com. You can find them there. We usually upload the episodes by what, Monday of next week?
At the latest. You know, Fritz has them up usually Saturday or Sunday. He's pretty quick at it. So,
that smooth voice that you hear behind the glass, Cal Hunter. Cal, we're 2 hours in. Have you reapplied the deodorant?
I did. I went outside, went into the main lobby, and the flowers there wilted. So I went to my car and got the pit stop, and there you go.
Okay, yeah, I didn't want to say anything about the wilted flowers.
Thank you.
We'll leave it at that. But
thank you.
Glad to have you here today, Cal.
Glad
so,
to be here, Todd.
Case or no case? All right, so you've skunked me on the first two. Case or no case for those tuning in. This is where Cal usually presents a case to the panel. There's usually three of us here, but today it's just me. And Cal comes up with this scenario. Sometimes it's true, sometimes it's not. Yes, he is risking his immortal soul for a game of case or no case.
That's a fact.
And, boy, that soundbite will be played back.
My soul's in pretty good shape, by the way.
And so Cal tries to fool us. We have to decide, was the scenario he laid out a case? And if it was, what was the outcome? Or is he just making it up or what have you? So Cal has skunked me on the first two. I'm curious to see what you come up with on this one.
Here's the pitch. Oh, it's a softball for
Todd. Now it's time to play Case or No Case.
Yay!
And now the case of Joe Albertson versus Joseph Collins. Mr. Collins was a law student who had a game of eating well by coupon for a particular type of pizza he liked. DiGiorno's stuffed crust frozen pizza, 50% off. The small print on the coupon said, for pizza sizes 12.3 to 20 ounces only. Well, Colin loved the stuffed crust pizza, which was never meant to be included in that coupon, and he knew that. So here's what he did every week. He would check the Albertsons and buy the DiGiorno's stuffed crust pizza, take it back after ringing it up for regular price, take it back to customer service, and say, I got overcharged. And this was in the era when supermarkets said, if the price in our computer isn't right, you get the item free. So we got the stuffed crust pizza free at no charge. Customer service person would always check the fine print and said nothing that excludes stuffed crust, but he knew it wasn't right. Anyway, they'd give him 100% of the money back or give the pizza free, and so that's what happened. And finally, some alert guy in the Albertsons management department said, who is this guy, this Joe? What's going on with him? And they started looking and realized there was a pattern. So they sent him a letter and said, we want our pizza money back. And he said, what? And then Albertson said, if you don't, we will take you to court. Well, first we must check with our legal people to see if we have a case or no case over the stuffed crust pizza. What say you, Todd Kiernan, case or no case?
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Clearly, I think based upon the scenario, clearly the law student, he's a law student, right?
Yes.
The law student knows he is doing something that is wrong.
Untoward.
He knows that. Yeah. So he has, as some would say, a perfect knowledge of his fraud. And
yes,
to seek a to seek money back for an item that you know you're not entitled to because of some loophole you think you found. And it's not really a loophole. You're just preying on the fact that somebody is not going to really scrutinize this and realize that the pizzas he's purchasing are not part of this promotion.
It doesn't say a lot about his character, does it?
No, it doesn't. So my question is why? What people don't understand is when you become a lawyer, not only do you have to pass the bar exam, you also have to go through a moral character evaluation.
What?
Where you know, they check to make sure that you haven't been convicted of anything, that you haven't been sued for fraud, you haven't, to make sure that you are a person of upstanding moral character. Now, I know some are like, really? They have that? They must be paying as much attention to that as the clerk was paying attention to the coupon, right? but they do have this. And why you would risk having that come up for a discounted pizza is beyond me, but he did.
Well, it cost $8 a piece. You know, it was expensive. And for a law student, he said, this is great. I can eat for nothing. And it's a big company. They're not going to miss the $8.
Yeah, that's exactly the kind of person you want with a bar card, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So I will say that this is a case, and he loses Albertsons, because Albertsons has to look at it and say, yeah, the amount we get from this dude might not be much, but how many other people are doing this? And we need to let people know that you can't try to fraudulently get pizza from us. Look, if you want to do that with Hot Pockets, have at it. But for pizza, no.
For real food. Now, do you know how he knew the jig was up?
How's that?
They changed the wording on the coupon. And he looked at that and went, oh, man, I think they've got me.
Well, here's the question.
Yeah.
He knew the jig was up when they changed the wording on the coupon, not when he got a call from Albertson saying, knock this off and give us our money back?
That's true, but I'm saying that, you know, he noticed this beforehand, and he thought, this isn't going to go well.
Yeah.
Right? And so here's what happens, Todd.
Yes.
No case but true scenario, and that is...
Cal.
Okay. Man. I'm sorry, Todd.
You're 3 for 3 today.
I don't like that when you don't win one. It makes me unhappy.
This, if you had made this your typical double or triple points Saturday, when two people are gone, you can't have two or more, otherwise we don't have a show. If you would have scored some serious points here.
But I decided not to because I knew they were difficult challenges, especially the one about Warren G. Harding.
Yes.
If you missed that one, listen to the first hour of Radio Law Talk for today. You'll know what I mean. But, case and no case for me is a fun challenge, Todd. I enjoy finding cases that I think will tickle your brain and make you think about things. So thank you.
Well, I don't know that one necessarily tickled my brain. I know the Warren G. Harding one did not. But
tickled his.
Yeah, well,
wait, that's not his brain. Okay, go ahead.
Cal, yes, the FCC just called.
I'm just again?
Again? Good heavens. Look, when we come back from the break, the Rust lawsuit. This is the one that happened where they were prepping for a scene. It was a scene that involved the camera angle down the barrel of the gun, and the gun went off. Alec Baldwin holding the gun, and the bullet from the gun ended up killing the cinematographer and wounding the director. More on that case, some interesting developments in the last week as it relates to the remaining defendant who's still facing charges and a new allegation of not only misconduct on the set, but qualifies as tampering with evidence.
So clarification, are we talking about a change in the criminal case against possible defendants?
Yes.
or in the civil
case? Where is this all criminal case?
Wow.
All, because I believe they settled the civil case.
Well,
with
but
Baldwin.
Then another one was filed on top of that,
yeah.
Right? So, yeah, the cases just keep on, just like that submarine that disappeared and blew up down there. I imagine the legal cases, when you take something down and billionaires die, lawyers are going to be very busy. That's my theory.
That's true. That one has certainly captivated the public eye. And I hate to say it, but morbidly so.
Yeah.
People have no filter online these days.
No.
But when we come back, we'll get into the Rust case. Let's just say it doesn't go well for you as a person being investigated when people can look at maybe evidence that you choose to hide after your initial interview.
Oh, man.
Yikes.
We'll continue with that story and more next, right here on Radio Law Talk.
Radio Law Talk and RadioLawTalk.com.
Attention. If you owe back taxes to the IRS is cracking down by hiring 87,000 new agents to garnish your paycheck and put liens on homes and businesses. They can even seize your bank account. The IRS calls it enforced compliance, and now they have the manpower to get you. Penalties and interest on unpaid taxes compound daily. So call One-Stop Tax Relief Shop and get the IRS off your back. They're experts in the Fresh Start Initiative, one of the biggest breaks the IRS has ever offered.
Call 800-501-2533. 800-501-2533.
One-Stop Tax Relief has resolved thousands of cases since 2014 and saved clients millions of dollars. Call now for a free consultation. Get the IRS off your back.
Call 800-501-2533. 800-501-2533.
Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease.
These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
Learn how thousands of smart homeowners are investing about a dollar to avoid expensive home repair bills. John, a former non-customer, said, "My air conditioner broke and I had to spend $1,900 to fix it." Jeff, a customer, wrote, "My air conditioner broke and I got a new one at no out-of-pocket cost." Mary, a former non-customer, wrote, "My heating system stopped running. I had to spend $3,000 to get a new one." Lisa, a customer, wrote, "My heater stopped working. I got it fixed at no out-of-pocket cost." For about $1 a day, you can have all the major appliances and systems in your home guaranteed fixed or replaced with HSC's home warranty coverage. Call now, and the first month is free. If the lines are busy, please call back.
Call now, 800-238-9182, 800-238-9182, 800-238-9182.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Mom, I like the Amor Joseph Valley.
It's time for more Radio Law Talk with Denise Dirks, Todd Kunin, and your host, Frederick Penny. Frederick Penny. Frederick
Penny. So when the incident happened on the set of Rust, I want to say it was about a year, almost 2 years ago. in October, what was it? We were in October of 2021, I think. When that happened, the local authorities undertook the investigation. They did rely on forensics that came back from the FBI, but the local authorities in Santa Fe, they wanted to handle this, and it was a newly elected district attorney who undertook to prosecute or to look into prosecution. And you know, at the onset, there were some questions about whether or not small little Santa Fe or the smaller area, were they going to be able to really do an adequate investigation of this incident? And I'll tell you, some of those concerns have come to fruition in terms of serious questions about how the investigation was handled and what it's led to.
And I can see the political motivation, Todd, post-election, to say, look, I can do this. I got this. Don't worry. Get out of my way. I'm a very competent prosecutor. Thank you for electing me. And then going, okay.
Yeah. So first, let's review the history here. You got Alec Baldwin is obviously the biggest name principal in this. And the question was whether or not charges were going to be filed against him. And after a long time, they came out and they said, yes, we are charging Alec Baldwin, Hannah Gutierrez Reed, who was the armorer on set. And they also charged the assistant director who entered into a plea deal before the charges were even announced. He was going to be the key witness. And because he is the assistant director who is the one, as alleged, took the gun from the armorer, gave it to Baldwin, and then the gun went off while they were preparing and setting up for the filming of that scene. Well, the first hitch in the giddy-up was when the DA decided, well, I'm going to appoint a special prosecutor. And the special prosecutor that she appointed was a person who already was sitting as a member of the legislature in the state of New Mexico. Well, there's a problem there, one that they should have seen and known right off the bat. The DA's office falls under the executive branch of government. Well, a sitting legislator falls under the legislative branch of government, and in the Constitution of the state of New Mexico, it says in plain language that the executive and legislative branch can't be combined. You can't prosecute somebody who is part of the legislative branch. When the prosecutor is part of the legislative branch, it was an immediate violation, should have seen it, should have known the law, and they had to get a new prosecutor as a result of that. So that is the first hang up.
Oops. Mistake number one, and it's a big one.
Huge.
Yeah.
Well,
it could disqualify some stuff, couldn't it?
Could. Then earlier in around April of this year, it was announced. Now remember, they were, nobody is above the law. I don't care who you are. Alec Baldwin, you're popular, whatever. Nobody is above the law. We go after everybody in the state of New Mexico. If you have violated the law, big headlines. And then in April, they announced that all charges against Alec Baldwin have been dismissed on the criminal case. Now, they did say that they could be revived, but they've all been dismissed at this point because of new information that's come about that we have to investigate that requires investigation. Notably, charges were dropped against Baldwin, but they were not dropped against Hannah Gutierrez Reed.
She's the armor,
yeah,
on the set, the one who's weapons person, so to speak. Yeah.
And now this hasn't come out, but as a criminal defense attorney, I'm thinking, wait a minute, you got the assistant director sitting over there who's already entered a plea agreement based upon information that was presented to him at the time, and now you're telling me that there's something that could have exonerated Alec Baldwin? Did I enter my plea too soon? Was this information that you knew about before I entered my plea, but you didn't give to me? That kind of evidence is called, starts with an E and rhymes with pexculpatory. It's exculpatory evidence, and it has to be turned over.
Pexculpatory.
Yes. It
sounds like a muscle building technique.
It's in the back of the Bible somewhere. So look, you know that Hall, the assistant director, is sitting there going, well, hold the phone, Leon.
Yeah.
I entered a plea. I'm going to – look, it was diversion. I'm going to get – or it was a low-level plea. It's to a misdemeanor. But still, I'm going to be saddled with that unless I have grounds to take that plea back, because his involvement in it was really to justify how the gun got to Baldwin.
And he entered a plea on a basic set of presumed facts based
yes.
on the evidence presented to him, right?
Yeah. Now, when the case was dismissed against Baldwin – They said new evidence came about that we had to investigate and it warranted the dismissal of charges. But they didn't say what that new evidence was, right?
That wasn't Perry Mason, someone standing up in the back and saying, I did it. It wasn't that at all.
Which I have never seen happen. I've never seen a minor witness be called to the witness stand and said, you've got me, it was me. I always wondered in Perry Mason, why didn't the DA just save time and say, you know, we could save a lot of the government's money if Mr. Mason would just tell us who did it and we'll go for that guy, right? But here's the thing.
Yeah.
This last week, these are the bombshells that have been dropped. New charges against Hannah Gutierrez Reed. She's the armor. She's the one who's supposed to be responsible for safety, firearm safety on the set. New charges filed against her for, what are we calling it here, fourth degree tampering with evidence. The statement released says, quote, the prosecution team has been in contact with a witness hereinafter referred to as S.I., who will testify that the defendant transferred a small bag of cocaine to S.I. on the evening of October 21st, 2021, after the defendant returned from her interview at the police station on the day of the fatal shooting.
Wow.
That is huge. We'll talk about more of that, but that's not it. I mean, that's bad for the prosecution. That's bad for Gutierrez Reed, but it's bad for the prosecution because the former lead investigator also made a statement. And we'll get to that when we come back.
One of those cases that keeps on giving, and we keep talking about it, as well we should, on Radio Law Talk with Todd Kunin. The show will continue after this. Stay tuned. After this break, we'll continue.
Aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease.
These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
Do you have an old car sitting around your house? Maybe you're even paying insurance on it. Well, if you don't need that car anymore, donate it, running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. They will even come and pick it up for free and give you a receipt for a tax donation. Breast cancer screening could save the life of someone you love. And right now, they need your help. They want to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And that's what your old car helps to pay for. So get your phone out and call right now to donate your car to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. Remember, they will come pick it up for free and give you a tax donation receipt. Call right now at 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473. That's 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-254-1639. 800-254-1639. 800-254-1639. That's 800-254-6...
USA News Update. If you're hitting the roads this 4th of July weekend, you're not alone. AAA is projecting more than 50 million Americans will travel at least 50 miles from home. AAA also saying they expect a record number of those people to be traveling by car, with over 43 million expected to drive to their destination. The Supreme Court struck down President Biden's student debt forgiveness plan. Republican Congressman Burgess Owens from Utah joins Fox News and says he doesn't understand why the president was trying to forgive student debt in the first place.
We have a president who's wandering through this presidency, and he's a dictator wannabe. He's doing things that he knows is not going to work. We knew from the very beginning, a year and a half, 2 years ago, this process started. It would not work.
President Biden has nothing on his public schedule today. Tim Berg, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Is this real life?
Oh, no.
Now, Radio Law Talk continues. Here's your host, Fred Penny.
So we're talking about the Rust case, and the prosecution has brought new charges against the armorer. And this on the heels of a couple months after dismissing charges against Alec Baldwin because they said they found, and I quote, new evidence that needed to be investigated. And in one of the filings by the prosecution, they stated their belief that Gutierrez Reed was, quote, drinking heavily and smoking marijuana, those are the allegations, at night during the Rust production, to which I say it was a remote production of a film. This is new, this happens, okay? But still, she was in a position of security and responsible. They also claim their allegation is they believe that she was likely hungover. Get this, Cal. Hungover when she inserted a live bullet. So, look, this is that statement right there is the first time I have heard a statement from the prosecution team where they actually come out and allege somebody did something. Up until now, it's been there was a live bullet found. It's always the passive. A live bullet was in the chamber, a live bullet, and they haven't really come out and said how it got there. This is the first time that they're saying she was likely hungover when, quote, she inserted a live bullet into the chamber.
Now, that still begs the question. Alec Baldwin said the gun magically went off. That doesn't explain that, but it could explain how a person could mistakenly put a live round into a weapon.
That is true. That is true. And especially when she told allegedly the assistant director that it was a cold gun, it was not live, and that that was the same thing was told to Alec Baldwin, who thought he was getting a gun that did not have a live round in it. Now, those are the allegations. Back to this tampering of evidence. Remember, initially they said that she, it was reported, and they had said that she transferred a small bag of cocaine after returning from a police interview. So the incident happens on the 21st of October, 2021. She's interviewed by police. After being interviewed, goes back. They're alleging that she took a small bag of cocaine in her possession and gave it to somebody else. The state, their statement further reads, quote, "The circumstances of the transfer of evidence strongly support the charge that the defendant," this is Gutierrez Reed, "transferred the cocaine to avoid prosecution and prevent law enforcement from obtaining highly inculpatory evidence directly related to the defendant's handling of the firearm and the circumstances of the fatal shooting of Helena Hutchins." You read that and you say, okay, what they're saying is, you can see the theory is going to come at trial. This case goes to trial. At the time she was supposed to be at her peak mentally, but checking out that firearm, she was otherwise impaired. And the fact that she hid the cocaine is evidence of her consciousness of guilt, that the cocaine was what impaired her.
She was aware of this whole thing.
That's what they're going to try to allege. Now,
allegedly aware, yes.
Here is the defense attorney's response to it, and I understand where he's coming from. Because he calls these new charges a, quote, a character assassination. He says, quote, "a secret witness who suddenly appears 20 months later." How long have they known about this witness? We're talking about 20 months after the fact. Are you telling me that the witness has now come forward 20 months after the fact? Implicit in that statement is, or is this something you knew 20 months ago and you're just now bringing it out because she's the only one left standing? And it speaks to a veiled accusation of a haphazard, poorly planned and executed investigation on the part of the Santa Fe police authorities investigating this case.
Does it also show you that sometimes these things just take time to unravel, that maybe it was just that kind of a case? Because, you know, that happens sometimes.
Well, it really depends. I mean, I can't think of why a witness would come forth 20 months after the fact. Is this something they knew at the time, or was this truly something after the fact? And if a witness is coming forth after the fact, was that witness leaned on? I mean, here's the problem with it coming forth 20 months after the fact.
Leaned on or promised a bargain?
Here's the problem with it.
Yeah.
If it was truly 20 months after the fact, if it wasn't, where was the opportunity to get a sample of Gutierrez Reed's blood to see what, I mean, yeah, if she got rid of a bag of cocaine, but they tested her blood and found no active ingredient or no metabolite of cocaine in her system on the date of the incident, what's the relevance of the cocaine? So there's that question.
Do you suppose they tested people on set that day? Do we know this?
It really depends on the nature of the investigation. It really depends on what was told to investigators at the time. But I do – that begs an interesting question, Cal.
Yeah.
So – there's an individual, and his name is Schilling, Robert Schilling, a former state police chief who formerly served as an investigator in this case for the state.
Okay.
And he is no longer on the case. And as he left the case recently, he wrote a letter to the prosecutors, and he also CC'd the defense. So he gave this to the defense, and this is what he says in the letter, quote, "The conduct of the Santa Fe County Sheriff's Office during and after their initial investigation is reprehensible and unprofessional to a degree I still have no words for."
Did he say on what he was basing that?
Well,
that's a pretty general claim.
He goes on to say, "Not I or 200 more proficient investigators than I can or could clean up the mess delivered to your office in October of 2022, 1 year since the initial incident." inexcusable.
You know how long it's going to take for them to figure this out?
Now,
wow.
Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing. He was asked to follow up because, look, I've got confidentiality agreement. I can't say any more. He said that to news outlets. But I find it interesting that you have this statement that was sent in frustration by him, criticizing the nature of the investigation at or near or so close to the same time that new charges are filed claiming that there was this new witness that came forward. Why didn't you talk to them 20 months earlier? Or did you, and it just never came out? Why are you using this now? Look at all the things, if you're just bringing it out now, that the defense has been precluded from investigating because the scene is cold. We can't do biological testing. We can't take any blood samples and send in for drug testing. We can't do any of that, and it's because... And I think that the implication here from Schilling is, and it's because of the nature of the investigation 20 months ago. These guys were in over their head.
Well, let's also say this, Todd. Is it not possible that the witness just sat on this for a long time and somehow they either got leaned on or the spotlight came on them and they said, you know, I've been sitting on this information for a long time. I'd better tell somebody about this.
It's always possible. It's always possible. And I think that the first contested hearing that comes up, if it's a preliminary hearing, if it is, probably have to be because it's a felony case,
right,
when this evidence comes out and then the defense is going to ask, the prosecution should ask it to nip it in the bud. But if they don't, the defense should ask this question to the investigating officer: when was the first time you or anyone associated with this case learned of the bag of cocaine that was allegedly transferred from the defendant to another person? When did you first learn that? And if it was the day of, or near after, they've got a problem. A huge problem.
And are there any other surprises you have not told us about? Would that not be another question to ask?
It is. That's kind of a very open-ended. It's difficult to answer because there's sometimes something might seem like a surprise to somebody else. You know, what is everything in your report that happened that is not included in your report? Well,
right.
Look, a normal investigation would end up reading like War and Peace in terms of length if I had to put everything in. But that's what's going on in this case. And honestly, my assessment of all of this, the wheels are coming off a case that was otherwise rusted shut. You see what I did there?
So you're saying rust and... Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
It's going to be difficult for the prosecution moving forward.
Wow.
And we'll continue to follow it.
Well, sure we will. And I appreciate your insight. You've been on both sides of the bench on this. As a defense attorney and a prosecutor, you've seen bad cases like this blow up, I'm presuming, somewhere.
Absolutely. It is far better to disclose the evidence of exculpatory nature that, even though harmful to your case, it's your requirement, than to have it come up some other way after the fact. That's the kind of stuff that attorneys lose their bar card for.
And it alerts suspicion on everyone. Todd, thank you. We'll be back for more Radio Law Talk. We'll break away first, and Todd has more insights for you coming up right here on Radio Law Talk, on many great local radio stations, and on RadioLawTalk.com, where we stream the show and all previous episodes, all free. No charge to you. We'll be back.
Advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your longevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Radio. Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Force. staring next to us.
No, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
How did that happen?
It's time for more Radio Law Talk with Denise Dirks, Todd Kunin, and your host, Frederick Penny. Frederick Penny.
So, I don't know, Cal, I don't know if you remember the Astro World Festival back in 2021 in Houston.
I do, where there was a big rush on the stage and people died. Yes, it was a terrible scene. Yeah.
Well, interesting that you say that, because it was reported that there was a rush on the stage or a rush in the crowd. That was what was reported. That was the general feeling among the public. Yeah. And 10 people died as a result of that. The Astro World Festival, they had several acts, but this happened to happen during Travis Scott's set when he was up performing. And so he was investigated criminally, as well as five other people. And the matter was submitted to the grand jury for review to see if any indictments could come down. And this last week, the grand jury announced that they will not be handing down any indictments related to that tragedy, based upon the conduct of any of the individuals involved. No indictments came down as a result of that.
So the danger of trying a case in the media. We were told people rushed the stage. We were told that he encouraged them to do so. And then people got stomped on, and the emergency workers couldn't get to the person that was down under the crowd. And with all of that evidence, everybody listening said, well, obviously somebody's going to face
sure.
a criminal charge. But nothing.
So this is the statement by the Houston Police Department at the news conference last Thursday after it was announced that there would be no indictments handed down. And listen to this based upon the heels of what you just said was reported.
Right.
Right? Quote, this was not a crowd stampede. This was not a stage rush.
Wow.
This was not a crowd surge. This was a slow compaction or constriction into this one quadrant, resulting in collapsing within the crowd. The area had been set up in multiple quadrants, and it only happened in this one quadrant that things were compacted. They said the full police report will be released later on, but none of the people charged or the people investigated saw charges. And it's interesting. Travis Scott, obviously, like Alec Baldwin in the Rust case, named the biggest, most popular
deep pocket big guy. Right.
So yeah. Travis Scott was interviewed, and because a lot of people have said, I mean, listen to this statement. This was a few days after the incident. The Houston fire chief said that the Travis Scott, he named Scott, Travis Scott and the organizers of the Astroworld Music Festival should have stopped the event when they realized the members of the crowd were in danger. He says, quote, absolutely, look, we all have a responsibility. Everybody at the event has a responsibility, starting from the artist on down. That's what he said on the Today Show shortly after the accident. He says, if the artist, if he notices something that's going on, he can certainly pause that performance, turn on the lights and say, hey, we're not going to continue until this thing is resolved. That's one way to do it, right?
But how would he know?
And that is the question. If it was reported that there was a stampede and all of this, I get that. And I have seen concerts where artists, I went to a show, it was a smaller venue, I went to a show about 2 months ago where two guys in the crowd were starting to, you know,
mix
fight
it up a little, yeah.
It was a much smaller venue,
yeah.
And the lead singer said, hold on, stop, and stopped it in the middle of a very popular song and said, we aren't going to play till you guys get along, knock it off. Either go outside, be gone with you, but you knock this off.
Wow.
And I've seen artists do that, but in this case here, this is the statement from Travis Scott, and I think that this is at least why he didn't face. He says, quote, I didn't even know the exact detail until minutes before the press conference. He says, at the moment, you're just like, what? You went through something, and the only thing I was told in my headset, that I could hear in my headset, was they told me that right after the guest gets off the stage, that's him, right after we are going to end the show. Nothing was ever told to him that anything was going on out in the audience, that there were people that were hurt or anything like that. And so you talk about, you know, what did the artist know, and if what the fire chief says is correct, that if the artist sees something, he's got an obligation to stop it. Okay, let's take that at face value. Where's the evidence that Travis Scott knew anything was happening?
Right, and where's the evidence that other people who were running the show, because if you're performing, and you know this, your focus is on the performance and not the technorati around you. You've got people handling that stuff for you. Do you not? I mean,
there's a lot of stuff going on in a show like that.
Exactly.
So no charges brought as a result of that. But let's stay with celebrity, shall we? Kevin Spacey. Over in London, his trial started this last week.
Okay.
And he is being he's being accused of 12 different, we'll call it sexual assault-oriented acts committed toward 4 different victims, all of whom are male. And they span back, they go back as far as 2021. The events go from, the allegations go from actions alleged to happen between 2021 and 2013. So you're talking about a 12-year period with 12 defendants being tried, anywhere from 10 to 22 years after the fact. And it's in England, and his trial just started, and, you know, they were, yeah, we talked about the letters from Warren G. Harding. Well, the opening statements were similarly graphic in this. We won't get into those.
Really?
But, you know, the prosecutor is alleging with great detail about what he is alleged to have occurred. We'll follow that as it goes on. The trial just got underway with opening statements, but, you know.
So here's one of the more famous Kevin Spacey lines.
You're all morons!
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. But I wonder what it must be like to be a celebrity who
every once in a while misbehaves, shall we say, because apparently that's what's being alleged about him.
I think the prosecution's theory of the case, to change your statement there a little bit.
Thank you.
He is a celebrity who every once in a while gets caught with the misbehaving, but the misbehaving's always going on, but every once in a while he gets caught. Let's stick with the name Kevin. We'll wrap up with this one. Kevin Costner.
Oh, yeah.
So he's involved in a bitter dispute with his estranged spouse going through divorce. She filed for divorce. She wouldn't move out of the house. He says he's got a prenup. She wants all this money. He says the prenup only requires me to give you $50,000 a month. She wants $248,000 a month, and he just filed a document this week saying she wants $248,000 a month, not for the kids, but to fund her plastic surgery. Yikes.
In Hollywood, that is an insult, is it not? You're saying my former wife cannot keep her looks, so she needs my big money to keep them up.
Yeah.
That's an insult.
And she is saying, I need this because the kids, look, the kids are going to go back and forth between one home and another, and there should, child support is, to a certain extent, designed to ensure that they enjoy the same standard of living regardless of which residence they go to. He wants to give her $50,000 a month. She filed documents that says he makes about $19 million a year. So huge disparity. We'll see how that one plays out. And that gets us to our last segment of the show, Cal, which is...
$19 million a year. I could do a quick take on that, but I won't, because I don't have any quick takes, but I know you do. This is where we try to give you something to take away from the show when you talk with your friends about it on Monday, or in this case on Thursday, after the holiday extended weekend. Todd, what is your quick take from the big broadcast today?
Well, listen, it is a somewhat of a quick take, and you should be able to use this actually during the holiday.
Okay.
It's almost a PSA, if you will. If you have pets, be sure to be cognizant of their increased hearing and their reaction to fireworks. Please take measures to make sure that they are safe and that they are comforted during the fireworks, because, listen, they hear things on a different level, and what seems like an ooh, ah is great can be very difficult for your pets. So please take care of them and stay safe on your own. We want to make sure that everybody makes it through the holidays with all of their digits in place.
Yes, that's important. And the last thing is, if you're a president of the United States or thinking of running, don't write that letter. Don't send it.
I don't know. Maybe you could sell it online and fund your election campaign. So, in today's day and age, that might make some cash. So that'll do it for us here on Radio Law Talk. We'll be back at it next Saturday, 9 to noon Pacific. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Todd, for great work. Thanks, folks, for listening. We'll see you next time.
Listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk Incorporated.
I need help with my taxes. Where can I find free tax help?
If you make $54,000 a year or less, you can participate in the IRS Volunteer Income Tax Assistance, VITA, or the Tax Counseling for the Elderly, TCE, programs. IRS-certified volunteers provide free basic tax prep for low to moderate income taxpayers. The TCE program is specifically for taxpayers age 60 and older. Go to IRS.gov and enter free tax prep in the search box to find a VITA or TCE site near you.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.